Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim explain the dangers of being divided. We must be unified in Christ so God can be seen by all nations in these end times.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim is back expounding on some very interesting information. You don't want to miss this. Billy, thank you for doing all the studying and sharing it with us.
Thank God that he led me to do Brother Sumrall's book in 1980.
Awesome.
Of course, it did start me on a lot of studying because here he was ahead of his time. He was understanding jihad.
Yeah.
And he was understanding the Muslim threat. And so from all those years back, we were just talking between times, I then began to watch it and become a witness of what was happening in the world. And Jesus told us to watch the nations. And we can watch Iran. The people of the area of Iran can measure their times from Noah's Ark to the Antichrist.
Wow.
It's all in the Bible.
Isn't
their place in it from Noah's Ark to the Antichrist.
That covers quite a few days.
That's quite a few days. Now, we've looked at Iran. We've looked at its days when it blessed Israel. We looked at its days when they were the three magi who came to worship Jesus, and when people came there and were there on the day of Pentecost. But now, in our modern times, we've also watched Islam, and we watched how it swept up and visually, and it took over Iran and became, you were reading about all the, how Christianity just basically, you know, it kind of died there. But, you know, right now they're telling us that there's a big revival going on in Iran.
That's encouraging.
Yes, it's encouraging. And I know that Jesus is appearing to a lot of Muslims. And he loves everyone.
He wants everyone to come in. Yes, he does.
So we're going to talk a little bit about how did Iran become this radicalized place that it is right now. When Muhammad died, he didn't leave clear instructions who should follow him. So there was two schools of thought, and more than schools, warring factors. And one of them, the Sunnis, they say that the one that takes over after Muhammad should be the most righteous. He should come from a righteous person. But the Shia, they say that you have to be related blood relative of Muhammad or Ali, his nephew.
Or so, what?
Yeah, or to be the head, or off with your head. So now we've got in this you know, in this world, we've got the Islamic world divided into two parts, the Sunni and the Shia. And 90% of the world's Muslims are Sunni. Only 10% are Shia, but the Shia are in Iran. And the Shia hate the Sunnis. They've had terrible wars through the years. The Sunnis are many places, but one of the places you'll know that they are is Saudi Arabia. Now, one of them is not
That would be the Sunnis?
That would be the Sunnis in Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden was a Sunni. The ISIL are Sunnis. Yeah, and some people always thought, well, the Shia are the more radicalized ones, and they are radical. But what's happening with ISIL is that they say those who are in charge of Mecca and Medina, the Saudis' princes, they're not righteous enough, and we're the most righteous. So ISIL is wanting to be the most righteous, and they're Sunni. And Shia, of course, they're radical. They believe that there's coming a Mahdi, a Messiah-like figure, and that he's only going to come when the world's in chaos, and they're supposed to start chaos. So we have this chaotic Islamic world.
Mama.
Now, what happened in Iran that made it so chaotic? In 1963, Iran was swept by riots stirred up by powerful Islamic Shiite leaders. These riots protested Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi's Western ways, calling him a traitor of Islam. You will remember the Shah, Gloria. You remember how he threw a big birthday party for Iran, celebrating its Persia, celebrating its 2,500 years, and spent millions of dollars on that big party he threw. And so the radical Islamic imams did not like his Western ways. He was friends with United States, not Israel, but United States and Britain. They didn't like that. So they had riots protesting his Western ways, the Shah. The Shah put down these 1963 disturbances and arrested and exiled one of its religious instigators, the Ayatollah Khomeini. Khomeini was exiled first to Turkey and then to Iraq, but he could not be silenced. He continued to preach against the idolatrous Shah, and he wanted a new nation of Islam. Islam means everything, he said. Islam contains everything. Islam includes everything. Islam is everything. And Islam demands jihad. So even as Khomeini, Ayatollah Khomeini, sat in exile, he sowed seeds of holy war in Iran. Now he's exiled, first in Turkey, and eventually he's going to even get over to Europe, to Paris. But from those places, as he sat in exile, he was sowing seeds back into Iran. He consistently cried out that the Shah and his United States ties must go. The major reason for the downfall of the Shah was his opposition to his own religion, Shiite Mohammedism, and to Ayatollah Khomeini. When it became apparent that Khomeini's followers were everywhere displaying the Ayatollah's picture, the Shah put pressure on the government of Iraq to put him out of the country. Khomeini fled to a small village outside of Paris in October 1978. From there, he broadcast his message against Western theology, taking advantage of Western theology's most modern means of communication. He talked to the Western press. He sent his messages into the streets of Tehran by means of cassette tapes. And they sold them on the sidewalks, his cassette tapes made in Paris. They sold on the sidewalks of Iran.
Now, what year was that?
1978.
What were we doing, sending cassettes?
Yeah, we were sending cassettes out in 1978. And that devil was copying us.
Interesting.
These were played, these tapes that he sent into Iran from his exile out in Paris were played in the mosques and in the homes of the people. Every day he gathered more power
and
strength.
Did he learn that from the church?
Well, the devil did, for sure.
Yeah.
Every day his message was gaining more power and strength. And his call for a return to pure Islamic ways and goals, which was preached on the streets, carried home in the cassettes. He could pick up a telephone in Paris. We're talking about Ayatollah Khomeini. You remember him.
Yeah, I do.
He could pick up a telephone in Paris, and his followers in Tehran would march in the streets. He called for strikes, shut down banks and the postal services, closed factories, shops, and oil wells. The Shah was powerless to stop it. On January 16, 1979, the Shah left the country, and with it his ancestral throne, ending one of the Earth's oldest monarchies. On February 1st, 1979, the Imam Ayatollah Khomeini returned in triumph from France after 15 years as a political exile. He was met by millions of jubilant Iranians shouting, "The Holy One has come. He is the light of our lives." Khomeini assumed the political and religious leadership of the nation, being designated as Iran's ruler for life. And so it was in February that he overthrew the Shah. And then it was in November of that same year that radical students from Islam, from Iran, overthrew the United States embassy. And that's when this book was written. We also know that Khomeini has died since that time. And quite a thing when they had his death. Something happened with me, and I don't know if I'll have time to tell it, so I'll skip it right now. But
remember, so you can tell me later.
I'll tell you later. But quite a thing. The Lord spoke to me when he died. When he died, you know, millions came in the streets of Tehran, and they had his body up in a box, up in a wooden casket. And they were saying, "Our father, our father, our father is dead." And I'm watching this on television because the Lord had told me, he said, "Something's going to happen and you watch it." And while I was watching with those millions there in the streets of Tehran, the Ayatollah fell out of the box. His body, those boxes that they carry in the Middle East. The top, there's no tops on them. They're not closed because they're gonna take the body and just put it in the ground. So out came his body. The screen went black, and his body was trampled. They had to later scoop it up and bury it. I want to go now to Iran's future. We've looked at Iran's past. We looked at how Iran got into the radical situation that is right now. You know, when it was taken over, when the Shah was run out, and he died just shortly after that, and the Ayatollah Khomeini took over Iran and made it a radical Islamic state with Sharia law, a lot of the Iranian people fled. They didn't like it, what was happening. And there have tried to be some uprisings in Iran against these powerful imams. But one of the uprisings that they were trying to make, the United States should have helped them, and they didn't help them. So there's been a lot of people, you know, that Pastor Abedini, that was held so long before he in prison, Iranian, wonderful man, wonderful Iranian people. You've known some wonderful Iranian people.
Yes, we
I know some
we
wonderful
had great partners.
Iranian, yeah, Iranian people, beautiful people. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about that government that Satan took in. And that religion, which was born of Satan, you know, Allah, he's not the same as God. Muhammad, they worshipped a plethora of gods in Mecca and Medina, where he was from. He took one of those gods, the moon god, and made it the only god. So Allah is not God. It's not another name for God. Jehovah is God. Allah is not. So now we have the past. We've watched Iran. We come all the way from Noah's grandson up into the future. And Ezekiel, oh my goodness, Ezekiel. He is the prophet of now. He is the prophet of Iran's future. And now, at least the government of Iran. And we did, Gloria, we did 2 weeks on the prophet Ezekiel, and we published a syllabus. And I'm sure that they can tell you at Kenneth Copeland Ministries how you can get those sessions that we did, you and I, together, and how you can get that syllabus. Because the prophet Ezekiel, he tells us what's going to happen in the last days. And in he was an Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet during the time when the Jews were over in the Babylonian captivity. And, you know, I mean, their temple was destroyed. They could have thought, it's all over between us and God. He's through with us. But Ezekiel prophesied to them, no, it's not through with you. There's going to come a long length of time, and you're coming back home. So in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel to go to the mountains of Israel. Now, Ezekiel's living over in Babylon, but God takes him over to the mountains of Israel, transports him over there, and he says in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, you mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. And Islam took over those ancient high places. They took over. They built a Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount. They have in their hands right now, that was given to the followers of Yasser Arafat, the place of Abraham's altar, Shechem, and in Hebron, and Bethlehem, and Shiloh, all these places now were handed over to Islamic terrorists.
Now, how did that happen? Who did it?
The world forced Israel to do it, to tell you the real truth. And so it was given over into the hands of Yasser Arafat's people. And so God, 2,500 years ago now, he told the prophet Ezekiel to go prophesy to those mountains. The mountains of Israel are the same as the West Bank. And he said, because the enemy has said, aha, the ancient high places are ours. Those high places now, Islam is saying, is ours. And the Lord says, judgment's going to come unto you. Look at verse 5, the end of it in chapter 36. This is a prophecy to Israel about the land. I have spoken against you because you appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their hearts. Verse 6, prophesy concerning the land of Israel. So here comes the prophecy of the land of Israel. And he says, verse 7, therefore saith the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the nations that are around you shall bear their shame. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are coming home. What did Jesus say? You watch Israel and the nations until they shoot forth. We see Israel. They have shot forth. They're back to their land. They're back to these mountains where God's saying, I will multiply men upon you. Verse 10, all the house of Israel, that means the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, and the cities shall be inhabited. The West Bank cities he's talking about right here, the mountainous cities, they're coming home. I'm going to settle you after your old estates. And I will do better things for you than at your beginnings, and you shall know that I am Jehovah. Praise yea, I will God. Cause men to walk upon you, my people, Israel. Don't you be saying that they are not his people. Israel are his people. And he talks about them coming home in the last days. He says here in verse 24, I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land.
Praise
Verse 28,
God.
You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Praise
you God. Want to read Ezekiel 36, and you'll see the prophecy about the land of Israel, which is happening now. Now, in Ezekiel 37, you're going to see the prophecy through the prophet Ezekiel on the people of Israel. And so he takes the prophet Ezekiel out over a large valley. The hand of the Lord was upon me, he says, Ezekiel says in chapter 37, and carried me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them. And behold, there were many, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. He said, prophesy to these bones and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, I will cause breath or spirit to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews upon you and cover you with flesh. And then he talks about all these bones coming, you know, that old spiritual. Them dry bones.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come together and walk around. But now look who these bones are. Verse 11, this is the chapter 37 of Ezekiel, verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they're coming together, they're coming alive. Those dry bones are the nation of Israel, and that's God's prophecy to the nation. Now, we're going to go over to his prophecy of a war that's coming in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39.
This is yet to come.
Yeah, this is yet to come, and this is Iran's future. The nation, we're not going to say all the Iranians, but at least that nation right now that has become so radical. Chapter 38, Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog in the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Those are places in Russia. And prophesy against him, this evil spirit. God's not against people, but there's an evil spirit. You remember in Iran, you remember Daniel was praying, and he was praying about the future of Israel. And here comes the angel from heaven. He said, I was sent on the first day you prayed, but this prince mm-hmm. of Persia, an evil spirit over Persia, delayed me. That prince did not want Daniel to know what was going to be the future of the Israel people. So that prince is still over that nation, and he, of course, he's an evil prince, the power of the air, and he has influenced them to move toward the way of Islam and Sharia law. And so it says here, God says, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. In the air, Satan is really this evil spirit, this prince, and he's ruling down now in these last days. He's going to work down through these nations, and he says, he speaks first of all Bible scholars, most all of them, Jewish, American, most of them, not all. Some of them are moving over into saying something else about Islam, but really, if you study this, you're going to know that he is talking here about Russia. And he says there some nations are going to come together. Now, Russia, in its days of the USSR, there are many, many, many wonderful Christians in Russia.
Yes, there are.
We're not talking about the people
here. We've been
here.
On TV there a long
yes,
time.
Praise the Lord. So many Christians.
Good churches.
Good churches there. But what he's talking about is any kind of an unbelieving government. If there is a government that is not Christian, you might say, coming together with Persia. Now, Persia, we know from our study that's Iran. So we see here Iran, even with some other nations, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, Togarma, and it names these, and it says that after many days you shall be visited, verse 8, in the end of days. King James says, in the latter years, you shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel. So there's going to come a group of nations. They're going to come down into Israel. They have an idea of, you know, right now they say it. They right now burn flags and say death to America, death to Israel. So we don't see any record in the Word of God that Israel's going to ever have to be in a nuclear situation.
But we do see that Iran now has wanted to become nuclear. And we're sad to say that the United States of America entered into an agreement with Iran that would allow them to become nuclear. So all kinds of things among the nations haven't been going right, haven't been going God's way. But God's going to have his way.
We know that for sure.
We know that for sure. And this
and I'm going to be on his side.
We're on his side. And this attack that comes down from the north into Israel, God will end it. And God says that it's for a purpose. He said, I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Jehovah. As Lord you read God. Ezekiel 38 and 39, you're going to see that when these armies come into Israel, God so takes care of Israel that people in these other nations will know that he is God. I think that's when they're going to turn to God. I think that's going to be when a great number of Muslims turn to God, because they recognize strength and they recognize power, not weakness. They don't like it when our leaders are weak. I mean, they don't honor them. They don't respect them. But when they see what God does, they're going to say, he's the real true God, I believe. And they're going to turn to him, because God has many ways of turning men unto him. And as you read 38 and 39, you underline everything which says that after this, the nations are going to know that he is God. God is revealing himself to the nations in many ways. And as we watch them, like Jesus said, as they come into the prophetic places, then we know that Jesus is coming soon. Be ready.
Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm ready, Jesus.
You can find out right here.
Amen. Amen. You know, if you're not ready, you need to get born again and be ready when he comes. Hallelujah. Billy and I'll be right back.